You like to drink tequila, and so do we. Pour a glass as we learn about tequila together on this episode of The Tequila Tester.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Tequila Tester. My name is Brent, and today we have a tequila who has on their website a motto of take life by storm, and hopefully we can talk about that. But first, I wanted to thank everybody who's already subscribed to The Tequila Tester, whether it's on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and if you're not subscribed, well, shame on you, and you need to go to those platforms and search for Tequila Tester and subscribe to us. So today on the show, we have Tromba Tequila, we have Nick and Rodrigo. How are you guys doing? I like the setup over there, too.
Yeah, we're going right. Yeah, this is our little, this is the back of our office, so it's pretty nice out here. Yep. Nice and warm, too.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're going to be tasting along with me. My past two guests, I've just been drinking alone, talking to them about tequila, which is awesome. But I like when you guys are drinking along, too.
We got three glasses each, ready to roll.
Well, can y'all tell me a little bit about Tromba Tequila and how it got started?
Yeah, I'll kick off. So Rodrigo and I are part of the team that started the brand about 10 years ago now. And so Rodrigo is Marco Sedano's son. Marco is our master distiller and Roy's his right-hand man, I suppose. So really our story starts with Marco, so Rodrigo's dad, about 40 years ago now. So he started making tequila in the 1970s up in the Highlands with his first job actually out of university as a chemical engineer was with Don Julio Gonzalez before it was a Don Julio distillery, it was a Tres Miguez distillery. So he started making tequila with him in the 70s. Did that for a couple of years, and then he sort of left the industry for a while, and then he got sucked back in about 1983. And so he was at that time making Tres Miguez. And then he undertook a project over the course of 3 or 4 years to produce a premium 100% agave tequila. At the time, they were just making mixtos. And so that was, he finished that sort of, that process. And that's a really cool story. That's maybe a story for another day. But basically, it was a three-year project to produce his 100% agave premium tequila. And he came up with that batch in 1988. And that batch ended up being the first batch of Don Julio, which is sort of recognized as being the batch that sort of changed the course of the tequila industry. And so that was sort of that's the start of the Tromba story, because that was the first Marco sort of getting his start and his first big impact on the industry. He stayed with those guys for about another 10 years, ended up marrying one of Don Julio's daughters, so he's part of the Gonzalez clan. And then he left in 99 when Seagram's, big Canadian company, bought Don Julio, and then he moved off and started doing his own stuff. And that sort of built a bunch of distilleries for different people and consulted on a heap of different stuff. And that sort of takes us through to 2008, where Rodrigo and myself, another Australian guy and a Canadian guy, we basically sat down and decided that we want to continue Marco's journey about showing people how awesome tequila could be and where it comes from. And that's actually what it's called Tromba, because Tromba makes huge rainstorm. And the idea behind that was it's a story, and there's a lot of great stories about people in the tequila industry, families with hundreds of years of history, but we wanted to tell a story about where it came from. So a lot of it was about the idea of like the rains coming and soaking the agave fields and sort of taking the highlands from pretty dry and grey in April and May, and then June it comes through and just goes completely green. So it's a bit of a story about where it comes from, the place and the land. So that's where we come from, and then Roy can tell you a little about maybe where we are now.
Yeah, so the idea was, you know, like not making a tequila that is created in a marketing lab, but telling a real story. So basically the story started with my dad, and then when Nick, James, and Eric came on board, and we got this idea, my dad saw this spirit of entrepreneurship and stubborn people trying to achieve cool stuff. So he was very on board of this idea, and you know, like respecting the background that he had, and basically that we grew in the Highlands, we decided to produce a tequila in the Highlands just because the water is perfect for the flavor. We know the people, we know the families, you know, the Jimadores, the families. Like, basically, we've been working with the same people that he worked when he was younger. And now we're here trying to get his history along with us. Like, you know, like the old version and the new version. Everything packed in a beautiful bottle.
Yeah, so you gave it away. I was going to ask you about your accent. So you're Australian, right, Nick?
Yeah. Me?
Just right. I was one of the Highlands.
So how did you two are in Mexico, right?
Yeah, we're in Guadalajara. Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you end up from Australia to Mexico?
Long silly story, but
you can give me the best version.
Came to study here. Eric, our Canadian partner, and I came to study here on a university exchange in 2005, and we ended up studying at the same university Rodrigo went to. So. Yeah, so I've been here off and on for about 15 years.
Okay, great. Well, I already saw you drinking the Blanco, so I want to go ahead and start through. We can talk about some of the processes. So first, let me talk about the packaging while we're doing that. I don't mean to delay myself drinking tequila, you know, but so the packaging. So I really like the bottle design. So, and I wanted to thank you guys for shipping this over. But when I took it out of the box, my daughter was standing there. She's 14 years old. And she looked at it and said, wow, is that really expensive? Just from the packaging. So that's somebody who's never seen the packaging before, their first impression of it. So can you tell me, like, about the bottle design? Has it always been this way since it started?
We had the bottle shape's been the same since the start, and we sort of gave it a bit of a refresh about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And then the cool part for me is, like, on the back here, we've got it's called a grano, it's called in English a bravado. It's like a
ingrate.
Well, it's like a technique where they a really cool artist called Marina Bayares in Guadalajara did it, and it's like a technique where it's called linoleum, where they sort of carve it out and
yeah.
then they use it as a print. And so yeah, we're really proud of that piece of the bottle, because that was that took her about 40 hours, that piece of work. And so that's across all of the things. And it's an image we use across the brand a lot, because it's something we think really reflects what we do. It's like that, it's an old technique in the art world, but then sort of applied in a new way. So
also, like, every supplier that we have for the glass, for the cap, for the labels, all of them are family owned. That's one of the things that we're proud of, because we wanted to, like, since we're like a family, basically, we wanted to preserve that also in the bottle. So in the distillery that we work at, everybody that works for making the packaging real, everything is made by families.
Great. Well, I have the Blanco in my hand. I already started sipping it. So can you tell me about how it's made, some of the processes?
Yeah. Well, as we told you, we are in the Highlands, pretty close to Totonilco right now. What we do is, we just do things right, which is sometimes even more complicated than doing it wrong. So one of the first steps is we are very cautious about how we cut the agave off the ground. We ask them to do a medium quima, that's how we call it, which means that from the leaf you only leave like 2.5 centimeters of the green stuff, which is like two fingers tall, because that will give you very green flavors. You know, like, how do you say that? Like a fresh cut,
yeah,
green.
Vegetable flavor.
Yeah, on the tequila. If you cut it, all of it, and you leave the piña all white, it's going to be very neutral. And if you do a lot of it, it's going to be very bitter. So we like it right in the middle. And then we go to a traditional oven, cooking it there. And the main goal there is to get the perfect caramelization of the agave. You know, like, to make it perfectly sweet, perfectly brown. And I'm sure, I don't know, you judge it yourself, but it should be sweet on the nose.
Yeah, I get sweetness, a tiny bit of pepper. I get that green, the greenness you're talking about, the vegetal.
Yeah.
Cooked agave. What type of water?
Like a normal
water are you using? I get some kind of, like, the mineral from the water, like a kind of from that profile. Is it just well water, rain water?
It's a deep well water.
Deep well water, okay.
It's so good that we shouldn't even be needing the treatment of the water. Like, you can just drink it as it comes out, but, you know, industry regulations, we have to put a water treatment there, but it's good at it comes out of the ground.
Yeah, it's almost, it's like 1,000 feet down, isn't it? It's almost 1,000 feet.
More or less, yeah.
Yeah, it's very approachable. I mean, the flavor, you get a little bit of the, you know, bite from, I guess, from the agave flavor, but pick up a little bit of sweetness tasting it. So do you find people are mixing these in the Blanco and cocktails, or just drinking it straight, or both? Or how do you prefer it?
We're very versatile in the way that we like to drink it and have it drunk. So yeah, we work with bartenders, so we love cocktails, and Marco loves going to bars and getting bartenders making cocktails, but also, you know, like it is a good sipping tequila as well, so it's fine. And yeah, the old beer and tequila combo is my go-to.
Oh, there you go. What kind of beer?
We've got a bar down here in Guadalajara, and so we've got we only do local craft beers from Jalisco, so whichever, we change the menu every month actually, so whatever's coming out. Loiba's a great one from down here. Fortuna's another great little brewery down here.
Awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. Great supporting local. I'm really into beer too, so that's why I asked. Straight away a little bit from the tequila, but I find that interesting. So that's awesome. Craft breweries over there. So what kind of cocktails are people mixing with this? Margaritas, or is there anything unique?
Well, we've been a big champion of the Paloma for a long time. We played a good role in getting the Paloma to be drunk in Australia, which is one of my proud achievements. A lot of Palomas, margaritas, and then, you know, whatever, let the bartenders play around, see what they come up with. But we are a very Blanco forward brand, so a lot of the cocktails we push out with the Blanco.
Awesome. So I'm gonna go straight on to the Reposado, so we can talk about some of the barrel aging. I don't know if you need to. I don't know if you have enough glasses, or we need to finish the Blanco first. But
no, we're good. We will finish the Blanco. We do have enough glasses.
There you go.
There you go. So, you know, the way we see it is, we want their Blanco to be tasted in the Repo. We don't want Repo with a little bit of Blanco. You know what I mean?
Right.
So what we like is like to respect this first thing that is Blanco, and then just put like a kind of like salt and pepper in terms of wood. We use normal barrels like Jack Daniel's white oak barrels, and our Repo has been sitting there for 6 to 8 months. The way that we know when it's ready is because we just taste it. So we are tasting it, and whenever it's good for the palate of my dad and the team, then it goes straight to the bottle. One of the differences that we do for the Repo and Añejo is that we put our tequila into the barrel at a lower alcohol percentage. So whenever you take it out, you dilute a lot less rather than if you put the tequila into the barrel at a higher alcohol percentage. And also because we want to extract the flavors from the barrel like very slowly. You know, having the alcohol percentage lower makes you be more gentle with the barrel. So I hope that you can taste still the Blanco, but with a bit of complexity from the barrel.
Yeah, when you have it in the glass, it's very light, so the color from the barrel's not too much. You know, it's you can still see it, but you know, it's kind of on the lighter side. So do you use aged barrels, or how long are they fresh Jack Daniel's barrels? Are they used multiple times, or how does that work? Or do you char the inside? Probably not, since how light it is.
Nah, just the way that it comes from Jack Daniel's, mm-hmm. we just put them straight to be used in the Repo. And that's pretty much it. I mean, one of the good things about Trumba is that sometimes it will taste a bit different, but we're proud of it because every batch, my dad keeps experimenting, you know, it still tastes like Trumba, but new stuff is added into the production, new technology, new ideas and stuff. So as well with the Repo and Añejo, sometimes it will be darker, sometimes it will be lighter, but never like chocolate color. Because just the way it comes out, that's the way we like it.
Do you have a batch number on here? I see something that's printed at the bottom, like a lot number so if somebody were to grab a you know, Reposado today and then maybe 9 months later, and they could compare them side by side, is there a marking?
Yeah, usually it's on the side of the.
The printed one at the bottom. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With that one, we can trace it.
It's interesting. We're actually in the process of. Hopefully, you know, COVID sort of slowed us down, but hopefully we'll have our own distillery in the next year or two. In the meantime, we sort of rent out the facility, and we've just changed that one because we've just changed to a guy who's going to let us install some of our own stills and stuff as sort of a stepping stone before we get to build our own one. It's like pretty similar between El Ejido, where we were producing, and San Agustin, but it is slightly different. So if you the San Agustin, if you look on the label, it says what distillery it comes from. So if you're out there and buying a bottle and have a look, the San Agustin batch is slightly different than the other one. It's a bit. What bottle you got there? Where's that from?
It's NOM 1107.
Yeah, it's El Ejido.
Yeah.
So yeah, the new batch of the new distillery will start to filter out to the US over the next couple of months.
What's that NOM? So it'll have a different NOM on it.
That is.
It's here. 1547.
So if I had this bottle and then I had one from that NOM, is there a significant difference, or is it pretty much along the same lines of the brand?
I mean, for someone like yourself that drinks a lot of tequila, then you would see quite a lot of difference. But I think for the normal person who picks it up, like Mark and Roger, they get the profile pretty consistent. But you know, the water, it's not that far away. It's only about 10 miles away from the other one, yeah. But it's a bit higher up. And it's nestled away in the mountains, so it is slightly different. I think it's a bit. Probably it's all taste, isn't it? But I think it was a positive step. It just brought a bit more depth, I think, maybe.
Yeah, because in this distillery, the goal was like they allow us to prove the equipment that we are designing for our own distillery, and at the same time, it's sort of the same well that goes underground, the water well. I don't know how you call that, like the current.
Yeah, underground river.
So. Yeah, underground river. So the fact that we are there, it's great because they let us experiment with the equipment, and at the same time, it's the water will help us to see how we will taste in our own distillery, sort of, if you know what I mean.
Right. Yeah, like an experiment almost to see what you're gonna use in the future. This one's also very approachable, so you can taste the Blanco coming through it, and I do get a little bit of the barrel, not a ton of it. Sweetness in the aroma.
It's actually pretty good.
this lot.
So I have the añejo already. So can you see how long this is aged for?
Same drill, you know, like it could be 18 months, 20 months, 22 months, depends. Like one of the good things about being us is that we are not pressured by anybody, and then we decide if it goes into the shelves or not because it doesn't taste or it tastes right. So the way of seeing if it's ready is just by, again, tasting it and then deciding if it's ready or not, or if we blend a bunch of añejo barrels, you know, at the same time. And then again, low alcohol percentage when you barrel it, when you put it in the barrel. And when it comes out, it's just fairly good to just drink it. You just dilute a little bit, normal filtering, and it goes straight to the bottle, to the bottle. Same barrel, same everything. It's just like whenever you make a good Blanco, the rest should be okay if the barrel is in the proper conditions, which is something we do as well. Like whenever the barrel is not ready or the barrel is overused, it goes away, and then we're like, you know, like bringing normal maintenance. We don't do recharge. That's something we don't do. But the rest we do, you know, like kind of fix the barrels.
Yeah, and this one I get like a little sugar cookie smell. You get more of the barrel. Obviously, it's a little darker. Sweetness in the aroma. And also, once again, you can still taste the Blanco all the way through. Very approachable. I can see this very like a very good sipper.
Yeah,
very good for classic cocktails as well.
Yeah, I like this.
You know, like cocktails that you only probably steer, like you don't shake, and yeah, for my personal taste, it's great.
Awesome. What, so are there any plans for an extra añejo?
Yeah, we bought, we had three barrels from, I think it was like, 2011, 2012,
2013.
So we had three barrels, me and Roy Marco produced a blend, and we bought out like 340 bottles, but half liter bottles. We didn't do our research very well though, so you can't sell that size in the US. So we're in the process of, yeah, thanks TTV. We should have checked. So we're in the process of hopefully producing a 750. It's a beautiful hand-blown bottle replica of this one.
Okay.
And so we're hopefully maybe seeing if we can repackage that for the US, but we will see.
And it's cool because it's the very first ever distilled drop of tequila Trumbo. It was inside of those barrels. So you're having an extra añejo of over 7-8 years. Over 8 years, right?
And it's not over oak too, which is still got some agave there, which is
and it was pretty difficult to bottle it because one of the rules we set up for that batch was the way that it comes out of the barrel, that's how it goes into the bottle. So you're gonna see the extra añejo like 42.91 percentage. We didn't dilute, we almost used like coffee filter to filter each one of them because it's such a little volume. I'm just joking, we didn't use the coffee. But we didn't touch the liquid. Like the way it came out of the barrel goes straight into a bottle. And it's like almost the same color as the añejo, but the flavors is so sweet and so smooth, like perfect for a good, you know, if you like cigars, if you like a nice chocolate, like it's so good for just having it sitting with you and drinking it slowly. It's a very, very, very good batch.
Yeah, it's really nice.
I can imagine. So I have a question. So when you're out at a bar or a restaurant and there's no Trumbo available, what kind of tequila are you drinking?
Well, at our bar, so we have a bar here in Guadalajara, which is, we only do independent distillers, what are they called? Distillates, agave distillates from Jalisco with a focus on tequila. And on that back bar, we have a bunch of different brands, and everything on that back bar is what we like to drink. So, you know, brands like Fortaleza, Arete, Cascawin, G4, you know, there's a lot of tequila out there, and there's not, I'm saying that all of it's great, but there are a lot of great little brands that are doing, you know, people who try and do the right thing, you know, who use the right techniques and really passionate about it. So yeah, and basically anything on the back bar of El Gallo Tenero, I'm happy to drink. And others as well.
The tequilas you named are very common. I asked that question on most of the episodes, and those tequilas you named are pretty much come up consistently. So if you've listened to these shows, those are some recommendations besides Trumbo to go try. But you got to go get your Trumbo first, right?
Of course.
So it's
five all of all of them.
So where can we find Trumbo?
We are actually, like, hopefully in 3 or 4 days, we're about to launch our own online store in the US. So that will be, hopefully that'll be up on the website by the weekend. And then, depending on where you're in the country, we're in your part of the world, we're in Twin Liquors, California, Total Wine, Bedmo, Liquorama.net. Where else? Yeah, it depends on the state. We don't actually look after the sales in the US, so I should have a better knowledge of that.
It's all right.
Twin Liquors, sure. Twin Liquors in Texas is a great supporter.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I want to ask you. I'm gonna let you plug your social media in just a second, but so I have a question. So how is the tequila market in Australia? Can you find Trumbo there, right?
Yeah. So we it's a good question because. When we sold our first bottle in sort of like early 2011 in Australia, and the tequila market was very, very different to it is now. So it was basically, in that time, 95% of the market was mixto tequila. And it's very small, it's still small. So I always tell people that, I say, oh, why did you move back to Mexico? And it's like, well, the LA tequila market is 5 times bigger than the entire Australian tequila market.
Yeah.
So, just LA, not even California.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it changed a lot over the course of the last 9 years. Like, we were one of the first brands to sort of get in there and start pushing the craft, the craft side of the industry. So we were there, Ocho was there, KA23 was there. I'm trying to think if I'm missing anyone out, but we were sort of the small brands that sort of really tried to push the education side of it. And now you can get lots and lots of good tequila there. So it changed a lot over the course of 10 years. It's still a small market, like it's a small country, but there is a lot more choice there than there was, say, 5 years ago.
And I asked you because I was personally interested in the answer, but also I know we have some Australian listeners, so that's why I wanted to ask that. So can you go ahead and plug your social media? Because I think on your website you can also find where to find Trumba, but can you tell everybody what the website, maybe you have Instagram, Facebook?
Yeah, so tequilatrumba.com, and our Instagram is just at tequilatrumba. We have Mexican wine, if anyone in Mexico is listening, at tequilatrumba.mx. This is Facebook. So yeah, and hopefully, as I said, we'll be getting some cool stuff on our own online store in the US in the next, over the course of, well, it's launching like in a couple of days, and then after that we'll be getting cool promos and different giveaways and stuff on there over the course of the next couple of months.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to join me. If you can hold on a second, I'm going to close the show. But I'm really looking forward to that extra añejo. So.
When we work out to get some bottles of US, we'll make sure we get one in your hands.
Yeah. Okay, well, I wanted to thank everybody for listening and our great guests today. This episode was sponsored by Margarita Texas. Margarita Texas, it's the quick and easy way to make a margarita. If you go to margaritatexas.com, you put tequila tester in, you'll get 10% off. And once again, if you go to iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, leave us a review and then hit the subscribe button. We'd really appreciate it. I want to thank everybody. Salute.
Salute.
Thanks a lot, friend.
Thank you.